Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Have you ever wanted the Lord to have some direct appearance to you? Now, be honest. Don't we all kind of want to? Well, maybe not when we're trapped in some sin, and some previous students have said we don't want to come to Jesus meeting in those situations, but assuming that the Lord came to you in a grace-filled way to speak to you, to appear to you, to maybe even have a meal with you, perhaps answer your questions about how life will be for you into the future. Now, be honest, wouldn't we all kind of like that? Theologians have a fancy name for the times that God appears to his people. When he is manifested to his people, given it the term theophany. The Lutheran Study Bible notes that there are 8 such theophanies in the book of Genesis, and 4 of them, half of them, occur to the patriarch Abraham. There are no theophanies for the other descendants of Abraham in Genesis. Neither Isaac or Jacob or Joseph or his brothers are directly visited by God, albeit Jacob and Joseph do have dreams. But wouldn't it be great if the Lord just came and visited you, us? Well, maybe. Maybe not. Let's actually take a look at the 4 theophanies of Abraham. If you would, open up your pew Bibles and go to Genesis 12. For the first one. And you'll see there that in Genesis 12, Abram is a 75-year-old, kind of late middle-aged man for that time, living in Haran, which is about 500 miles north-northeast of Canaan. Probably living a pretty comfortable life when Yahweh comes and speaks to him and says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Wow. That's pretty good. I'd like that kind of theophany. And it all sounds pretty good to Abe. He loads up the caravan with his beautiful wife, his nephew, some animals, probably some servants, and heads south 500 miles, which would take him a little longer than us, to become a great nation. But this great nation thing doesn't come as quickly as I would have hoped if I were him after a theophany. In fact, for years, no kids are born to them. The land he is sent to has a famine, and they have to go farther south, down into Egypt, to keep from starving to death. And there, Pharaoh starts thinking that Sarai looks pretty nice, and because he's been told that she's Abram's sister, well, he tries to make her part of his harem. If I were Abram, I'd be thinking, "Hey, Lord, when are you going to fulfill this great nation promise that you made?" Well, let's look at the other, or 2 others, chapter 15 and chapter 17. First, the Lord in verse 1 of 15 tells Abram that his reward will be very great. And then in verse 5 tells him that his offspring will be as great as the number of stars that he is able to see. But then notice the rest of this theophany is a little different. He has him cut up a bunch of animals in half and then tells him that his offspring will go to another land and be slaves for 400 years. Well, so much for a positive theophany. If you look at chapter 17, Abram is now 99 years old. So this is 24 years since the first theophany back in chapter 12. Yahweh reiterates his promise to Abram. his covenant, and even expands it by changing Abram's name to Abraham, which means he will be the father of nations. He says that Abraham will have a son by Sarai, now Sarah, but that Abraham and all his male servants will need to circumcise the flesh of their foreskins today. Again, not the kind of theophany most of us would like. But Abraham believes God, trusts in him, and does it. Are you getting some of the picture here? Are you sure you want God to appear to you? We sometimes think we do, but we want that appearance to be on our terms. The Lord has other ideas. Then we come to our text. You'll turn to chapter 18. Notice that one doesn't even have a heading at the beginning of the chapter. It's the fourth of Abraham's theophanies, and there are two reasons for this theophany, and the text that Tanner read shares with us the first one. But if you look at the last half of chapter 18 into chapter 19, you see the rest of the story, that this is about God's planned destruction for the very grave sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham takes his theophanic opportunity to bargain with God, not once or twice, but six times, to get him to promise mercy if just 10 people in Sodom can be found righteous. Now, most of us know from our Sunday school days that Abe's bargaining was for naught, and that only Lot, and ultimately only his two daughters, are saved, and they're only saved because angels pull them out by the hand like little kids. And if you look a little further, Lot and his two daughters are not very high on anyone's sanctification scale. But back to our text. Abraham looks out of his tent door in the heat of the day and sees three men. As Dr. Herman said to us yesterday in his sermon about Martha and Mary, ancient Middle Eastern cultures, especially the Hebrew culture, had strong customs about caring for the travelers. One commentary that I read said that in this culture it was likely that sojourners would hope that the locals would invite them in, but would stand at a polite distance, perhaps a safe distance, until the invitation was actually made. Once Abraham sees these three, the Lord and two angels, we realize later, his hospitality rivals even that of Martha. Abraham has Sarah make cakes of flour from over a bush, make cakes of bread from over a bushel of flour, and slaughters a young bull and feeds them milk and curds. He recognizes the specialness of his guests and lays out a banquet feast for them. But in this fourth theophany, the Lord doesn't have any new message for Abraham. He had told him the year before that he and Sarah were going to have a son. In chapter 17, Abraham had heard that and laughed. Now then, in chapter 18, Sarah hears it directly and she laughs. And they therefore call the child Isaac, which means laughter. There were still many more spiritual bumps and errors and trials for them to go through, but they had at least started to see a small portion of God's promises fulfilled. But honestly, if the Lord appeared to me four times, I would have hoped I would have had a lot more opportunities to ask my questions, to understand my future more precisely, the bumps and errors and trials that I would be going through more clearly. But Abraham, for all his flaws, believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He humbly said to him in verse 3, "O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant." He then offers them hospitality, a little food to eat, water to drink, wash for their feet, some cool shade. And then finally, in verse 5, talks about being his Lord's servant again. And I like Gordon Wenham's commentary translation for this final plea to God. "For this is why you have come, for your servant's benefit." It's what Abraham said. "For this is why you have come, for your servant's benefit." You and I may not have any direct theophanies during our earthly lifetimes, but we, the church, have been given the greatest theophany the universe has ever seen when our Lord Jesus descended from Abraham, became man, and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Abraham and Sarah waited for decades to see even a small portion of the first promise from their first theophany to come to pass. Their descendants, even more visible than the stars in the sky, more than even the visible stars in the sky, waited centuries for the ultimate benefit from the line that was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. The Lord would come again in the greatest theophany in history, in Jesus Christ. But just as Abraham's theophanies were not as he expected, our Lord Jesus Christ was not the theophany that our world expected. He came not to rule in some earthly way, but for his servants' benefits, to ransom us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. We wait, knowing that our Lord has given us even greater and clearer promises than he has given to Abraham. Our Lord comes and dines with us every week. We wait, knowing that we will have a come to Jesus meeting, but it will be the greatest, most glorious come to Jesus meeting on that last day. He will raise us up and give us the most glorious eternal theophany we could ever imagine. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.